On Euclidea, the magic island of the South Seas, events are moving very rapidly. Johnson's boat has arrived and been captured. Jerry and Joan have been in the chemical laboratory and watched the exploding gas from Captain Bradford's trick formula put the Euclidean scientists, including G-47, to sleep. Now, Jerry and Joan are back on Mrs. Gregory's yacht, where it is lashed to Johnson's boat. Jerry is running a little portable power saw on the deck of the yacht to cover up the noise of the pumps transferring oil to Johnson's boat for the escape attempt. Joan is with her mother in the radio cabin.
J-24Y to Wilmington. Patricia Gregory to the Gregory Relay Station. Hello, Wilmington. J-24Y to Wilmington. Hello. Hello.
I cannot understand, Mother dear, why they do not answer you.
I understand it, Joan, and I don't expect them to answer me.
Why not, Mother?
For one reason, they can't possibly hear me. We're 4,000 miles from the California coast, and with our broken aerial and this set not working properly, we're lucky if we can be heard 400 miles, let alone 4,000.
Then how does it help us any to keep calling? And your messages sound so strange. I do not understand much of your plan, I think.
Well, I haven't much of a plan, dear. What I'm trying to do is keep the Euclideans in the radio chambers busy worrying about these messages. As long as they think our position is hopeless here and that we're frantically calling for help, they won't suspect how nearly ready we are to try and escape.
But what about Mr. Johnson? Will he be hearing these messages and acting on them to help you?
I hope so, dear, though it's rather difficult to put much of value to him in the messages. However, he'll be listening to all of them, as long as he's within range of this transmitter at least. And when we actually run away from here, he may be able to figure some way to meet us before our fuel gives out.
I'm so afraid, Mother dear, that these Euclideans will discover you have cut holes in the two boats and are transferring the oil from this yacht to Johnson's cruiser.
They may not. Jerry's making a very convincing job of sawing on that mast out there. The noise will cover the sound that the pumps are making, and unless some of the Euclideans actually swim in between the boats, as you and Jerry did, I don't think they'll see the holes. They're so near the waterline.
I would like to go out on the deck and see what is happening now.
You'd better not, dear. Jerry and the captain will be busy trying to answer the questions of that Euclidean guard. You'd only add to the confusion if you went out there.
What if the guard should discover the plans to use the other boat in escaping?
Joan, dear, don't be so pessimistic. If those things happen, they'll simply have to happen. Now, I'll use the radio again, see if I can think of something which might give Johnson an idea as to our real position here. J-24Y calling Wilmington. Gregory yacht to relay station. Relay this to Gregory land station at Wilmington. Both boats powerless. Held captive at latitude 29 degrees south. Longitude 124 degrees 30 minutes west. Impossible attempt escape. No fuel for boats.
Oh, the captain.
Yes, Joan, and I've got some good news for you.
What is it, Tex?
Go right on with your sending, Pat. This can wait until you get your message out.
I wasn't sending anything of value, Tex. Just trying to find a way to let Johnson know something definite about our plans and the situation here.
Well, after we figure a little on what I've got now, maybe it'll be easier to get a message to Johnson that he will understand.
You have discovered something of value to us, Captain Bradford?
I think so. That Euclidean who came aboard just now and put Jerry and me through a cross-examination didn't have any idea that the gas explosion in the laboratory was anything more than an accident. He wanted to know if that had ever happened to me when I was working on the formula.
You think they were really deceived about it?
No doubt of it. They don't even suspect that the formula was deliberately prepared to put them to sleep.
I can believe that is possible, as the Euclidean chemists were all in the laboratory at the time, and they would be the only ones on the island with enough knowledge of chemistry to suspect anything about the formula.
Right, Joan. And as long as these chemists stay asleep, we won't have any trouble over that.
But the man who came and talked to you, he must have had something definite in mind. What did he question you about?
He wanted to know if I had an antidote for the action of the gas, if I couldn't go to the laboratory and revive these men some way.
Of course you will not do it, Captain.
You bet I won't. And I couldn't even if I wanted to. There's nothing I ever heard of that'll bring these men out of their little nap.
How long will the effects last?
Oh, several hours. At least until after dark. The minute it's dark, we've got to make our break for the open.
But how will we ever get that boat of Johnson's out through the pier opening and away from the island without being heard?
There is often a brisk wind from the south in the evening. Could you sail that boat out, Captain?
That's what I'm figuring on trying. They'd hear the motors.
I wonder if the batteries in Johnson's boat are in shape to handle the radio.
I imagine they're pretty dead after dragging that boat around, but we'll move our batteries over there after dark.
Oh, Captain, listen. The noise has stopped.
Yeah, so it has. That means the oil's all transferred to the other boat, and Jerry can quit sawing on that mast.
Well, Jerry, did you finish with the mast?
Yes, Mrs. Gregory. And I wanted to ask you about that, Tex.
What is it, Jerry?
Don't you think it'd be a good idea for me to go right ahead and set that short mast into place, then rig up the radio aerial again? It'll give these fellows an idea we're planning on staying on this boat, if they're watching us.
I think that would be very wise, Jerry.
Oh, you would think so. Easy enough for you to sit here and think things are wise for me to do. Have you ever tried pushing a mast around?
Why, no, Jerry.
Then come on out with me. You're going to learn how to do it.
Now, Jerry, that work will be too hard for Joan.
Oh, I don't want her to work. I just want her to sit there and watch me do it, so she can tell me how good I am when I get it done.
Well, if you need moral support, go right ahead, Jerry, and take Joan with you. I'm going to stay here with Pat for a while and try to figure out how to get an intelligent message to Johnson.
Come on, Joan. You can boss the job while I work on the mast.
You must both be very careful out there.
We will, Mother, and I will see that Jerry does a good job. Now I want to see what you have done, Jerry.
I'll show that to you later. Just now I've got another idea in my mind. Come on around behind this cabin.
But, Jerry, what do you...
Now, don't ask me now. Wait till we get around here. There. Now, this ought to do.
For what?
Wait till I get a chance to tell you. Now, first, we've got this radio cabin between us and the island, right?
Of course, Jerry. That is obvious.
Never mind the cracks. Just answer my questions. Now, that cabin is all lined with that Euclidean soundproof cloth all the way around, isn't it?
Precisely.
Hey.
I am sorry. I mean, certainly it is.
Then, if we stand here, with that cabin between us and the island, can we talk without anyone on the island hearing us?
Yes, Jerry. I am sure that is possible. Of course, we will have to watch for anyone on the other pier over there.
Oh, I know that. We'll have to watch all around and up and down. But what I want to know, is there any way for their sound beams from the central control chamber on the island to pick up what we say from here?
No, Jerry. We will be safe with this insulated cabin between us and the instruments.
Swell. Now listen, I've got an idea. And it's something I didn't dare tell your mother and Tex because they wouldn't let us try it. But I think you and I can put it over.
Is it something dangerous, Jerry?
Plenty. But it's just as good as it is dangerous. And it's a swell chance to make sure we get off this island tonight.
Oh, Jerry, what is it? I will help you, no matter how dangerous it might be.
Atta girl, Joan. I knew you'd be with me. But we've got to be mighty careful that Captain Bradford or Mrs. Gregory don't find out anything about it.
Then we must speak very quietly, Jerry. They might hear us through this cabin wall.
But you said the cloth would keep them from that.
Not exactly, Jerry. The cloth would keep sound from being recorded in the control room. But if we spoke loudly enough, our voices might be heard through this thin wall. Not what we said, of course, but if they heard our voices here, when we should be on the other side of the boat working on that mast, they might come out to see who it was.
Right, Joan. We'll take it easy.
Now tell me what it is. You must have some plan which you and I can work out.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Listen. Oh, boy, that's swell. The skipper and Mac are working on that mast now. Tex will think it's me, and he won't come out looking for me.
Well, hurry, Jerry, your plan.
Well, I'll tell you, Joan. It's mighty dangerous for you as well as me. And you don't have to go for it if you don't want to.
Why, Jerry, do you not realize that I want to do everything you do and go with you at all times? I am afraid of nothing, Jerry, if you and I are to try it together.
Atta baby, Joan. Atta baby.
I know what that means now, Jerry. It means
Never mind that now. You're a swell girl, Joan, but your English is terrible. Forget it and listen to the plan.
Of course, Jerry.
Well, to begin with, my plan's only good if you know a whole lot about this island. I mean, where the main switches are that control all the electricity on the island, where the one room is where the most damage would be done if anything happened to that room, and where the men are that would have to watch out for most.
You want a good deal, Jerry. But I think I can help you with all of it.
Okay. Now, here's one other thing. How far can we walk on that island without getting stopped? I mean, how close can we get to any of the important rooms?
I think with the chemists all asleep in the laboratory, the other Euclideans will be rather uncertain in their conduct. We may find the watchers very lax.
Well, now here's what we've got to do. Captain Bradford is planning on trying to sail Johnson's boat out after dark. And your mother is trying to get a message to Johnson that will let him know we'll be on the high seas without any fuel in the boat. Now, all that's all right, but I'm afraid Tex is leaving too much to chance here. Even if most of those guys are asleep, there'll be plenty of Euclideans who know how to handle those big ray guns and the submarines and all. And even without old G-47, I got a hunch somebody on that island is going to have sense enough to stop that boat before we get very far.
That is what I think, Jerry. But Mother and the captain will not let me talk that way.
I know that, but this is something they won't know anything about until it's all over. You and I are going to take a crack at wrecking a couple of the most important places on the island.
You mean we will attempt to destroy certain valuable nerve centers in the island mechanism In order to guarantee their improper function when the time arrives to attack our boat?
No. I mean we'll bust up a few of the things they can't use them to stop us.
That is exactly what I said, Jerry.
Well, didn't sound the same to me. Anyway, just before dark tonight, you and I are going to leave this boat. We'll take a walk on the island, and when we get back to the boat, we'll have a mighty good chance of getting away from here.
Unless we are caught, Jerry, then we will not get away at all.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But we'll try it just the same. Now, we'd better get out on deck there and act like we'd been working on that mast.
You are right, Jerry. We must appear to have been very busy, so the captain and my mother will not be alarmed.
Yeah. I don't hear any noise around there. I guess they've got the mast set up again. Hey, stop, Joan.
What is it, Jerry?
One more thing we've got to do tonight, and it's the first thing. We've got to get our hands on one of those ray guns.
I will take care of that, Jerry. I have one for each of us.
You what? Where did you get them?
When we pretended to faint in the laboratory, I fell very close to the commander. When we left, I had both of her ray guns hidden in my dress.
Joan, you're swell.
I know it.